make comments on that, but if there's already a district in effect, well, then they've got the obvious solution. The district could provide the service if that made sense. May very well be that that's not the most economical solution. It may be that joining the city and annexing to the city is in the long run the best and most economic situation. Could, in many cases, if not most cases, sometimes it is. The point is that the city should have the obligation, and basically they got the problem in their pocket right now. The city should go out there and go through the process with the citizens and come to that conclusion with the citizens. They shouldn't, in our mind, be able to use the statutes or the law to force that upon them. I think that's the issue that's in front of you right now.
Tell me about the cherry stem annexation in Oregon City.
Well, it was the an annexation of in the Claremont Water District, which went almost a mile out of right-of-way to take in 200 acres in Jimmy Johnson's famous property, 200 acres for an ill-fated mobile home park. It was a controversial amendment to the urban growth boundary at the time, and the city annexed that property. It was just a little short of a mile, annexed that property, and then promptly turned around and signed an agreement with Claremont Water District to provide water service.
And the Boundary Commission approved
that? Boundary Commission approved that.
And that was fairly recently?
That was within the last year. I think you could ask, I wasn't at the hearings, I think you could ask the Boundary Commission. The irony of this is the case used.
That sounds too much like some of the things the legislature might do.
That's that's correct, Representative. The irony for me is on these switch subjects a little bit, for these running out right of ways for a mile and picking up pieces of ground and then turning around and not providing any services to that area. The irony for me is back in '69, the cause celeb of why we had to have the land use laws was the city of Klamath Falls annexed out a railroad track and took in a piece of industrial property, and 1,000 Friends of Oregon's others, myself as a county planning director at the time, came screaming into the legislature saying, foul, foul, that's an abuse of the annexation process, and we need the land annexation law, or we need the land use laws to prohibit that kind of stuff. And in fact, 1,000 Friends went to court and overturned that annexation. Based on the nonsense of that, we passed all the laws, and then here we are 15 years later still talking about annexations out right-of-ways, and I'm wondering what changed. What did we do? We somehow got sidetracked somehow in this process.
You was a planner?
I forgot to...
The other significant thing is that he's been in it for 20 years. That's
right. Well, I got out of it, Representative Markham, real quick, fast as I could, sir.
We will be back on this issue. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I want Representative Martin to know that he didn't go bad in one night.
That's right.
Could I get somebody from Albany back up here just to answer a couple of quick questions or maybe get some information?
Sure. Steve Bryant, acting city manager.
Steve, could you get us the tax information on the difference between in and out of the city?
Presently, the city's projected tax rate for 89-90 is about $8.90 some odd cents. The county fire district pays about $1.60 some odd cents for fire service. That would be deducted from the $8.90 for the net effect of somewhere around, what is that, $7.30 would be the net increase to anybody who annexes to the city of Albany presently.
But it would be less than that, Steve, because there'd be more people paying
it. Well, it changes the whole tax base situation, too. So if that were a small property, that would be the increase. The present value of the North Albany Health Hazard Area is about $27 million. The addition of that large of an annexation is going to change, by a few cents, the total tax structure in the city, and we haven't calculated that yet, but it's still going to, the net effect is still going to be in the $7 range for those residents. Now, we have proposed two alternatives for mitigating that impact on North Albany residents. The first is we have offered to them the phased value annexation approach, even under a health hazard annexation order, that we have essentially said, you propose to us when you want services from the city over a 10-year period of time. Essentially what I've been trying to say is that if you don't want any city services for 10 years, let's not assess any city tax rate for 10 years. Let's just provide sewer service. And then on the 10th year, under state law, we would have to assess that full tax rate. If you want police protection in year five, that's about $3 a thousand, thereabouts. So on year five, you pay $3 a thousand and you get police protection at an urban level. And that would generate sufficient revenue to us to provide some additional protection. And then there's the whole range of other city services that have to go into that kind of negotiation. So we're very interested in negotiating a phased-in extension of all city services over a 10-year period of time. That's option one. Option two is, and I've been discussing this with Senator Yee today and have discussed it with Representative Oakley and North Albany residents, if in fact the North Albany residents were to say to us, we're not interested in receiving or paying for city services, but we do want sewers. What about the notion of considering the addition to the city's tax base as a result of annexation as a revenue source to pay for sewers? And we've estimated that if we annex $27 million of value, that will increase our tax base by about between $175,000 and $200,000. I think the City Council would be willing to look at that as a revenue source to reduce the repayment obligation for a sewer bond. And we agree by intergovernmental agreement with Benton County for them to continue to provide the same level of rural services to North Albany as they're presently providing, and we'll use every dime that North Albany residents pay as an addition to the city's tax base to help pay for their sewer system. We're not interested in giving them services that they don't want. We're not interested in enforcing this annexation, but we are interested in solving that problem. And if money's the issue, let's turn their tax dollars into a revenue source to reduce their sewer obligation. So those are some of the ideas that we've been working with to try to get at this problem. We don't feel that Service District is the logical provider of an urban service adjacent to our city. They're not providing sewer service now. We provide their water service through a contractual arrangement already. And we consider, and we think many of the North Albany residents consider themselves a part of the city. My phone has been ringing off the hook from North Albany residents saying, how do we get this thing resolved? We don't like what we're hearing from some of these North Albany citizen committees. They're interested in looking at these kinds of negotiated settlements to the North Albany problem. So I think we're making some progress using this kind of negotiation to get at a solution.
Let me ask you, okay? Mr. Chair, if I might, because I think the tenor of these discussions I find intriguing. We go back and forth on this issue. This is only my third session,
mm-hmm.
and I'm sure that this discussion has been going on probably forever. But you come back and you keep revisiting this business of cities and how they annex and how they relate to the people adjacent to and so forth. Obviously, a lot of it depends on who is up here and how the committee is constituted. But there used to be a time when these committees largely were pro-city. Over the time, they become less pro-city to the point that you hardly even notice whether they're pro-city. There's hardly an evidence that would suggest that at all. But there seems to be some notion, however, that cities are leeches. And all they're there for is to, whether you're going to do it by a cherry stem or something else, to kind of reach out and grab these poor folks, and you're going to bleed them to death and charge them through the nose for what they get, assuming they get much. What's the counter argument on the notion that, first of all, those people are adjacent to the city basically because there's a city there, aren't they?
Most exactly.
As if there's an incorporation at all. They're using city streets, they're using city facilities, and they're using all kinds of city facilities. Can you really sustain the argument that, how does this, I guess you get down to the question, how does a city grow? How should a city grow? Do you take, one of the things that troubles me a bit, if you take away all the marble, and say you have to provide those marbles to people who want it on demand, as it were, simply because they need them, and if the city says no, somehow they're being a bunch of cruel bullies because they're not providing these services as they demand. And even when you get into, I suppose, cherry stems, one can fault a city, I think, and some of the stuff has been pretty gross. I'd be the first to admit that. But there are times you do it because there are people out there who say, we want a service, isn't it?
Exactly.
We want sewers, or we want water, or we want fire protection, or we want more urbanized police protection, certainly even, say, in mid-county, and before a real heavy annexation happened, say, up in the Portland and Gresham areas. These unincorporated areas develop very unevenly. You'll have a big subdivision that's very concentrated, very urbanized, demanding a lot of urban services, and then maybe immediately around it you'll have more rural, more rural. While the people in the subdivision want urban services, where do they get it normally? They get it if they're not too far removed from a city. How does a city get those services to them? Well, they get the services to them, if they get them to them at all, because by going through the unincorporated area. There may be lines developed, the utilities that come out from the private or the utilities or the PUDs or whatever it is. In order to get to them, you have to go through unincorporated territory. Do you think it makes any sense to cut all that stuff off? Do you cut a city at the boundary and say, you can't do anything out there, you can't provide these services unless 100% of the people want them, or you have to have big clops of areas that you have to annex in order to get there? At what point do you cut it off so much that you don't permit it to grow at all?
Yeah, good question. I think in the ideal world, we'd all recognize that cities would kind of grow in concentric circles. And unfortunately, the marketplace doesn't work that way. You know, land tends to be less expensive away from the immediate availability of those urban services. And people desire to develop those sites. They request city services. I worry about industrial sites around the state if we restrict what we're referring to as cherry stem annexations, for example, or even non-contiguous annexations, where you have prime industrial land along railroad sidings or along major access ways that don't happen to be contiguous, and you have a strip of land in between that site and the city that would preclude a contiguous annexation or the ability to annex a few hundred feet of roadway to get to that site. It makes it very difficult to extend services.
Well, but we don't have to worry about it. We've already taken care of that by excluding those people, because if they don't want to annex, they don't annex.
Well, that's right, but if you preclude cherry stem annexations as a way to get to those sites, it would make it very difficult for us to annex them. We had a situation a few years back where, again, it was a health hazard annexation, and I might add, in that case, I think we annexed over 800 residents who we don't consider any longer as a block of no voters or angry or hostile people. They're active people in our community. But part of that annexation, the state annexed about 1,800 feet of road to get to a subdivision that was allowed to develop under old county standards at really an urban density, 8,000 square foot lots. And literally, it was the only way to provide sewer and water service, actually just sewer service at this point in time, to that area. And I guess looking at it, there are situations around the state where it makes sense to do that. We didn't create an island as a result of that cherry stem, and there have been no other annexations along it, but it was the only means of providing services to an area that was somewhat isolated from the city. It was within the urban growth boundary. There was prime agricultural land between the city and that subdivision. That there was no logical reason to annex that agricultural land at the time, and we still have not done so. But there are situations where that's the only sensible thing to do.
Mr. Chair, let me ask you, isn't there a presumption in our land use laws, and you can argue with the program, and many people do, for one reason or another, isn't there a presumption that the logical growth area for a city, and in fact, it's a type of growth that ought to be, at least to some extent, eased. The logical growth theory is within the urban growth boundary. Isn't that the whole thing is all about?
Exactly. And Mr. Chairman and Representative Cease, we have spent a lot of time, effort, and money in this state trying to negotiate with counties and service districts these policy issues that Burton talked about a little while ago. That is, he's saying, are still open issues, and they are. But we have already spent the time and effort to negotiate these policy questions of who will be the ultimate provider of services within acknowledged urban growth boundaries. And in Albany's case, we have agreed with the county and the service district that the city of Albany is that provider of sewer service within the Albany urban growth boundary, and now is not the time to change horses in midstream and say, well, we're going to change our mind. The service district, who is not now in the sewer business, ought to get in the sewer business. And Albany, all that effort you've put in designing your treatment plant to accommodate growth in North Albany, let's forget that. Let's build a separate system in North Albany to treat sewers. I submit to you that that is bad, would be bad state policy for you to allow that to happen by changing, in this case, the health hazard annexation statutes. Now, the state health division is requesting an attorney general's opinion at this time to ask the question, to what extent do land use considerations have to be taken into account in a health hazard annexation proceeding? I think the answer to that question from the AG's office will give us a fair amount of direction. I guess I have assumed that each of the state agencies, including DEQ and the State Health Division, are somewhat bound by acknowledged land use plans. They're raising the question, are we or are we not? Is the health hazard annexation issue, does it take precedent over land use policy issues? If we find that the service district out there is a more cost-effective way of providing sewer service, ought we not require them to provide the service? And it's possible that the AG would say, yes, the health hazard issue is an overriding interest, and we should forget about the land use planning policies. And I would submit that you don't need to address this through legislation if that's the kind of answer we get. We may come back to you next session and say we disagree with that opinion and we need legislation to fix it. But that's out there as an issue, and that probably will be decided over the next couple of weeks.
Okay, thank you very much. Bill, why don't you come up for a minute? And I want to kind of go over where I see that we are here. And if I'm wrong, I'm sure you'll correct me. We had bills put in that I thought were a little harsh.
Correct.
I agree. You did, Mr. Chair? I'm surprised.
Yes. And we've tried to work for almost 6 weeks now to try to come up with different ways to approach these, most of which are not very satisfactory to the city. And going far enough that the people that put the bills in are not satisfied that we're really doing anything. I'd like you to get back with your group and see what we can do about the problem of people being forced to join the city simply to get one service that a state agency tells them they have to have. And I kind of heard that there was no solution to that. But if there's any way we can do it, and let's face it, it's directed towards Eugene. And in the meantime, I want to find out from Senator Otto whether we're going to do away with the Boundary Commission there, because all of these bills hinge in part on that. I want you to look at how we can stop creating major islands so that we don't have an island problem next session. And then these cherry stems, where they go out and don't provide any service, there's something wrong with that. And my inclination now would be to go with Representative Edmondson's bill, just the way it is, or that provision on the cherry stems. But why don't you go back and see what we can come up with to address some of these things? Okay. Yes, and we have somebody from the health division that would like to comment too. But if we could hone in on those things, that would be helpful. And we are going to go into work session on this other bill. Right.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Ronald Hall. I'm the manager of the Health Hazard Studies Program for the State Health Division. Maybe to clarify a comment made by Mr. Burton, it's the Health Division, not the DEQ, that's considering or that is administering the health hazard statutes. Regards a particular...
Do they rely on any information from DEQ?
The Health Division?
Yeah.
Well, the DEQ and the DEQ and the Health Division work cooperatively. DEQ administers the statutes in the state regarding sewage disposal, and the Health Division administers the annexation statutes that deal with determining whether or not these conditions constitute a health hazard.
Okay.
So, but we work very quite cooperatively together.
Did he say Mr. Burton was wrong?
Well, I think he said that.
Shocked.
I think he alluded to the DEQ as opposed to the Health Division.
He wasn't listening when you mentioned that. You might want to straighten him out later.
He seldom makes mistakes, but I think it's getting late, and I understand we'll consider this again next week. So I think that what I'd like to make sure that the committee understands is that within the existing annexation process, the health hazard annexation process, there is an opportunity within the statute as it currently is constructed to consider an alternative plan, such as service by an existing district. And I guess I'm concerned about the amendment as proposed on page or 3256.5 that would require the disposition of the possibility of an annexation by a district before you could consider annexation to a city, because any district that exists that in its principal act is made capable of providing sewer service, in a sense, could be found to be able to provide such service. And it really doesn't seem to take into account the other kinds of considerations that might go into deciding which decision is the logical one. Now, in the particular North Albany situation, I know that the county spent a great deal of time in deliberating whether the city or the district was a likely provider. In fact, they even proposed serving the area through the district, but it was the existing land use covenants that prevented the district option from being entertained under the health hazard statute. And as was said by Mr. Bryant, we have asked, in anticipation of consideration of an alternative plan, the Attorney General's office for a formal opinion as to the degree of discretion the DEQ, who will actually, in this case, be reviewing the relative merits of the two plans, will have regarding in relation to the existing land use designations. That is, will they be bound because of the existing designation to see Albany as the preferred provider, or can they look at the political situation and the results of elections and things like that?
How much do you take cost into account in this?
Well,
the cost to the people that are being forced to get sewer service from somebody.
Well, the Health Division doesn't initiate the action. I think that's another important consideration.
No, I'm saying, how much is cost a factor in all of this? Or is
well, we assume that the county has taken a look before they adopt the resolution and bring it to the Health Division in terms of the idea that the project is doable.
I'm talking about cost between the city and another form of sewer service.
Well, under the alternative plan consideration, that'll be one of the criteria, which is the most cost-effective decision.
Okay, but do you look at simply the sewer system and providing that service, or like with the city's figure on a $60,000 home, you're adding $420 a year forever, and maybe an increasing amount on the cost, or like a major plant, I mean, you could be talking about hundreds, tens of thousands of dollars a year onto their costs that have nothing to do with sewers.
Well, a good cost analysis of a project will take all those factors into account, yes.
So you do take all of those?
Yes.
Okay. Are there any questions? Good. Well, we'll have you back.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. We'll close the public hearing and move into work session on Senate Bill 358. And as I understand it, there is agreement from among the people that are concerned that the hand-engrossed amendments to Senate Bill 358 are acceptable. Is that right?
That's correct. Chair, I'll move the hand-engrossed version of A-engrossed Senate Bill 358.
Is that the proper motion?
Well, we should really vote.
Okay, let's vote the amendment first.
Let's vote the amendments, and then we'll vote the bill.
Yeah.
Well, aren't the amendments in here?
Well, yeah, but that isn't the complete bill.
Yeah, it'd be better. Okay, Senator Markham moves the amendments.
Representative Markham.
Representative Markham moves the amendments to Senate Bill 358, and they're prepared by the Oregon Association of County Engineers and Surveyors, and hand engrossed on a portion of the, on the appropriate portions of the bill before you. Is there any objection? Hearing none, the amendments are adopted.
Motion.
Yes.
I'll move the, now it's A and Gross Senate Bill 358 as amended, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay, Representative Markham moves the A and Gross amended version of Senate Bill 358 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any further discussion? Edward?
Mr.
Representative Oakley?
Aye.
This bill.
Representative Devine?
Aye.
Representative Wehage?
Aye.
Representative Markham?
Aye.
Representative Young?
Aye. Passes. Now, we do have to have people to carry these.
I'll carry all three of these, 29, 30, and 358.
Good.
That'll give me an opportunity to study up about.
Yeah, I think that
dig one of those brass caps out of the concrete and bring it. So
okay,
we'll
stand on it.
That'll be an engineer.
What a day.
What if he doesn't open?
Had they presented those amendments, had Burkholder presented the amendments on the Senate side, or?
I don't know.
Or had these,
I don't know if he did or not.
I don't know.
Had they talked about those amendments on the Senate, or the change on the Senate side?